Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, guys? I was fine until I hit record. I'm back. Gone for quite some time. But thanks to you guys, I know that I had not been forgotten. And I want to tell you before we get started how much I appreciated that. You know, it was 7 long weeks by myself in a hospital bed with nothing but my phone and a television to entertain me, you know. It's like I have a streaming service here at home that's literally has thousands of channels in it, and here I was reduced to the same 30 channels over and over again in the hospital. It made me nuts, but I wasn't able to do the show. I wasn't able to reach out and be connected to you guys the way that I normally would. I wasn't able to follow the Bears the way that I wanted to. I was actually in surgery, my final surgery, during the Bears-Packers game. Don't get me started on that. I missed a lot, and I didn't all at the same time. I stayed up on everything. For anyone who follows me on Facebook, you know that I've been doing my picks, and I'm doing pretty well. Actually, I finished the regular season 50-something games above 500. And I've been home for about a week and a half now. I came home last Wednesday. Here it is Friday night as I'm recording this. And I'm ready to get back at it, you know, just like I am with everything else, essentially. You know, I started back at work this week, but I wasn't really working this week. I was just kind of trying to fulfill the routine. I can honestly say I didn't get a lot of work done this week, almost none, to be completely honest with you. It was just about the practice of being, I mean, I work from home, thank God, but the practice of being, you know, back in the office, if you will. But anyway, I'm rambling. Bottom line, guys, thank you so much for supporting me, for being there for me, for those of you who contributed to the GoFundMe. Every single penny was appreciated. Thank you to Eric McCubbin for getting that started, and thank you to Tim Sanchez who went through what I recently went through, the same condition and everything, for being there with it, you know, advice and his experience and all that kind of stuff. And even though my struggle was a mere fraction of what his was, I think I spent maybe a tenth of the time in the hospital total than he did. But nonetheless, it was all helpful. I appreciated it all. And I'm back. So we got 6 games to preview. The Bears season is done, and we'll be hooking up with Lauren Cox at some time here in the near future to recap the rest of the season. And, you know, talk about that. And I will go into greater depth as to how it was I ended up in surgery during the Bears-Packers game, which in the end kind of turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because I know that it would have driven me crazy to see the Bears, you know, essentially dominate, go up 16-3, and then find a way to blow the game. We'll get to all that in our year in review episode. Somewhere down the line, hopefully this week. I'm going to try to reach out to Lauren over the weekend, see what he's up to. But We're going to keep plugging right along with these NFL shows. And first up, we got the wild card round. The postseason starts, for those of you who are, you know, probably listening to this today. We got two games on Saturday, three on Sunday, one on Monday for the quote-unquote super wild card weekend. And we've got some interesting matchups. So let's go ahead and dive right in. This is the wild card weekend preview episode of the Bears Talk Underground. So let's get to it. Sorry about that. You know, again, just like I didn't know the emotion would hit me until I hit the record button. I didn't know how much it would mean to me to say that again. But anyway, here we are. Wild card weekend. Six interesting matchups. We got the bye weeks for the Eagles and the Chiefs. And if not for the tragedy of Damar Hamlin, I'm very interested to know how that actually would have gone. Would Buffalo be the number one seed with the weekend off and all that kind of stuff? Or would the Chiefs have coasted through the end of the you know, coasted like they did and, you know, claim the number one seed? Unfortunately, we'll never know. And big ups to Damar Hamlin. I'm glad to see that he's doing all right. But, you know, Sunday was interesting. Teams fighting to get in. And I know that we as Bear fans were rooting for the Lions, rooting against the Packers, while also rooting against the Seahawks. I really wanted to see the Lions make the playoffs this year. You know, from watching Hard Knocks in the summer to watching them light up the scoreboard but couldn't play defense to save their lives. Then they snap a losing streak against us in Soldier Field, and they were off to the races. After that, they were 1-6 when they came into Soldier Field to take on the Bears. They eke out the win there, and then from there on out, they were 8-2, something like that. Yeah, 8-2. They finished 9-8. They had a winning record, and you know, they lose to Buffalo on Thanksgiving Day. And what was the other loss? There was another loss that they had, and that's what basically the one that ended up doing them in. But, you know, and then of course they lost to Seattle in the beginning of the season. That was the tiebreaker that basically ended up keeping them out of the playoffs, because the Seahawks finished 9-8 as well. And it was that back and forth, you know, circus of a football game, like 48-45 or something bananas like that between those two teams in like week four, week five, something crazy. Like that ended up keeping that got the Seahawks in and the Lions out. But the Lions all did us a solid as Bear fans and played the role of the San Francisco 49ers and eliminated Aaron Rodgers in the cold in Lambeau, as, you know, tradition would suggest. So, you know, the Lions playing the role of the 49ers and eliminating the Packers in Lambeau, you know, it was pretty sweet. To watch. So, nonetheless, speaking of the 49ers, they are hosting the first game to kick off Wild Card Weekend against the Seahawks. The 49ers have been on a tear these last, 8 weeks? Something like that. They've won. They pretty much won every game since I entered the hospital. But, yeah, it's like they lost to the Broncos. Or, excuse me, the last game they lost was to the Chiefs, 44-23. And since then, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 straight wins, including 5 by Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy, who took over at quarterback for the injured Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, who broke his foot in that loss to in that win over the Dolphins. And not only have the 49ers won 10 in a row to finish out the year, they've been rather dominant in the process. You know, they had a one-score game against the Chargers. They beat the Cardinals by 28. They shut out the Saints 13-0, 33-17 over the Dolphins, which at the time people were looking at like a Super Bowl preview, 35-7 over the Buccaneers. That was Purdy's debut. They had a tight divisional matchup against the Seahawks, 21-13, so there's a one-score game, 37-20 over the Commanders. The crazy game with the Raiders 2 weeks ago, they win 37-34, and then they sweeped up the Cardinals in San Francisco on Sunday, 38-13. So out of the last 10 games, 3 one-score games and 7, you know, total dominations, regardless of the fact that they've got a seventh-round rookie quarterback leading the offense. I mean, they are just handing the business to just about everybody that comes their way. You know, that win over the Dolphins was very impressive. They smacked around the Buccaneers, and that was in Purdy's first game. Everybody thought maybe Brady would pull off some Bay Area miracle, considering that that's where he's from. He grew up a 49ers fan. The game was in San Francisco, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I think the Buccaneers were down 35-0 before they finally scored. It was that bad of a loss for them. It's like Brady and company never stood a chance against the Niners. So, you know, it was an extremely impressive run that they've been on. They finished the season 13-4, but are headed in to this third matchup with the Seahawks, and history will tell us that you know, those teams that have to beat a divisional opponent 3 times in 1 year, a lot of times that doesn't work out. And the 49ers know this firsthand because they beat the Rams twice in the regular season, couldn't get it done in the NFC Championship game last year. Ended up losing that game in SoFi to the Rams, and watching the Super Bowl from home. So they know for a fact how difficult it is to beat a team 3 times in 1 year. The Buccaneers did the same thing in 2020 when they were swept in the regular season by the Saints, ended up beating the Saints in the divisional round en route to their Super Bowl win in 2020, the COVID year. So, I mean, and the Seahawks, they have their work cut out for them. I mean, this was a division that not too long ago, that around midseason, this was their division. They were in control. They were like 7-4, tied with the 49ers and all that kind of stuff. Got a big win over the Rams. Or actually, it was a win over the Cardinals. Then they lost to the Buccaneers and the Raiders. They get a win over the Rams, and then they lose 3 straight to Carolina, San Francisco, and then the Chiefs. Now, aside, Carolina's playing some solid football down the stretch, and obviously the 49ers and the Chiefs were going to be a problem for anybody. But those were 3 big losses, and then they were finally able to pull out that win over the Jets. And then the back and forth with the Rams in Seattle on Sunday, they had a doink field goal attempt, send the game to overtime, and they were able to pick off Baker Mayfield in overtime and take it back to kick the game-winning field goal and secure their spot in the playoffs. So, but this is a team that has had quite the roller coaster, you know, of a year. You know, they in the preseason and on paper, they look like one of the worst teams in the game. They barely squeak out a win over the new Russell Wilson-led Broncos. And little did we know at the time, this was a window into what was going to plague the Broncos through their season, which was the fact that they just didn't know how to play offense or anything like that. Then they rebound with getting smoked by the 49ers, beat by the Falcons in Seattle. They have that 48-45 win over the Lions, but I don't think the Lions had, I think the Lions were 1-3 or something like that going in to the game. They lose to the Saints, and they're 2-3. Then they go on a 4-game winning streak. They're 6-3 at that point. Then like I said, they lose those games to the Bucs. Now they're 6-5. They win that game against the Rams 7-5, and then 3 straight. Now they're 7-8. They have to win out to make the playoffs. They do. Pete Carroll and company takes one of the more unlikely teams into the postseason with a 9-8 record, just barely squeaking in. You know, it was quite the remarkable journey that the Seahawks have been on this year. And the real question is, you know, can they repeat history? I was going to say defy history, but can they repeat history and be that team that doesn't allow itself to get beat a third time in the same season? Do Geno Smith and Kenneth Walker have enough in them to be able to, you know, face down that unbelievable defense that the 49ers possess? Will Brock Purdy be able to step up to the big stage in the postseason, national TV game, and you know, lead the offense to do enough to win the game and move on to the divisional round? Those are the big questions coming into this thing. And in the end, you know, I think this might be one of the more lopsided matchups in the entire postseason. The 49ers on a 10-game winning streak, Seattle just barely getting in by the skin of their teeth. You know, they've been beat up by injuries on and off all season long. The 49ers, outside of their quarterback situation, seem to be one of the healthier teams going into the postseason, but they've got that defense to cover that up, and Brock Purdy's playing out of his mind right now. So, I mean, how could you pick against the 49ers in this matchup? I mean, I'm having a hard time picking against the 49ers in the NFC at the moment. So we'll talk more about that as we progress our way through the postseason. But right now, you know, the 49ers, I think, is a slam dunk pick. Saturday night, the Jacksonville Jaguars hosting their first playoff game since 2017. Also the last time they made the postseason, hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. And to me, this is one of the more, I think this will probably be one of the, this might be the best game of the wild card round. Maybe that or New York and Minnesota, one of the two. But, you know, what was it? It was weeks ago, like week three, week four, Jacksonville makes a trip out to Los Angeles. They're at SoFi Stadium, and they stomped a mud hole in the Chargers. 38-10, week number three. They were just coming off their shutout victory over the Colts. They go literally across the country to take on the Chargers and just beat the Chargers from pillar to post, 38-10. I mean, in a beating that no one really saw coming. It's like, okay, maybe Jacksonville can win. You know, the Chargers have been plagued by injuries, and as a matter of fact, plagued by them again. They're not going to have their best wide receiver, Mike Williams, for this game. Suffered a back injury in the finale against the Broncos on Sunday. He is out for Saturday's game against the Jaguars. I mean, that's definitely a pin in Jacksonville's cap right there. But it's, you know, Los Angeles just keeps finding ways to win. I believe they were 10-7 this year. Yeah, 10-7. Second in the West behind the Chiefs, who were 14-3 this year. You know, and Herbert is, you know, playing out of his mind again. 4,700 yards passing, 25 touchdown. Austin Eckler is just a beast. 13 total touchdowns, 915 yards rushing. And I know he's got 100 something catches out of the backfield as well. So I think that there's a pretty good chance that with Mike Williams out, that the Chargers will lean quite heavily on Austin Eckler. So it'll be up to the Jaguars to shut him down on Saturday night. Trevor Lawrence and and company, you know, got off to the, well, they got off to a fast start. They were 2-1, two back-to-back impressive wins. They shut out the Colts. Then they go on the road at Los Angeles and just stomp the Chargers. And this was after a game they should have won week one against the Commanders. But then they went on to lose five straight to the Eagles. They had that embarrassing loss to the Texans. They lost the rematch to the Colts. They lost a tight one to the Giants. And then they went over in London and lost to the Broncos, you know, a team that struggled to score, you know, 16 points a game. They managed to give up 21 to the Broncos for their fifth straight loss before finally beating the Raiders to snap the streak. But then they lose to the Chiefs. They squeak out a win over the Ravens. It was a real exciting finish. I really enjoyed that. Then they got plastered by the Lions in Detroit before winning five straight to finish out the year. And that includes a sweep of the Titans. They beat the Cowboys, and then they beat the Jets and avenged their earlier loss to the Texans on the road. So, you know, this was a team that, you know, 6 weeks ago was, what, four and eight. And they won five straight to finish 9-8, win the division, and make the playoffs. I mean, it's quite a, it's just, I mean, we talked about the roller coaster Seattle's been on. How about the Jaguars? 4-8 6 weeks ago, and now here they are, division champs, hosting a playoff game. Year one under Doug Peterson. I mean, what a difference a year makes from the disaster that was Urban Meyer to, you know, the revelation and whatever it is the team figured out to do, you know, beating last year's number one seed in the Titans twice and beating putting up 40 on the Cowboys, who are supposed to have a good defense, beating up on the Jets, who were an early season darling, and everything. And then, like I said, they had an embarrassing loss to the Texans at home earlier in the year, and they went out on the road and emphatically beat Houston 31-3 week 17. So, you know, this is a team that has been climbing its way back they benefited from playing in probably the weakest division in football, and were able to take full advantage. And I mean, and they're you know, yeah, they're 9-8. Yeah, they come from a weak division, but like I said, they won five straight and beat a couple of good teams to get here at the same time. So don't sleep on the Jaguars. I mean, this is probably the pick I'm most likely to get wrong. But, you know, like me personally, I don't trust the Chargers. I don't trust the Chargers. Anytime, like doing my picks week in and week out, it seems like anytime I put faith in the Chargers, they let me down. Anytime I went against them, you know, it was a crapshoot. It's like if I had to do individual records for each team, I would imagine that'd have a pretty bad record picking the Chargers. Like thinking like, oh, yeah, this will be an easy win for the Chargers, and they go out and lose 28 points to the Jacksonville Jaguars at home, you know. That's the kind of thing that I've been dealing with them. And I just, I love the momentum that Jacksonville has. They're at home. They're on a five-game winning streak. They are riding high. They're division champs. I think they're going to answer the call. You know, they answered it against the Titans. And I think they're going to eke out a win on Saturday night. I really do. So I'm going to take the Titans. But like I said, I would not be surprised at all if this is the pick that I get wrong this week. So, Sunday, we kick things off in Buffalo, the number two seed Bills hosting the Miami Dolphins, and things are just not looking good for Miami right now. Tua has been ruled out of the game with his 38th concussion of the season. They kind of stumble their way into the playoffs. Like when I entered the hospital 7-8 weeks ago, like I said, their matchup with the 49ers was viewed as a Super Bowl preview. And instead, it was the beginning of a 5-game losing streak. You know, they were on a 5-game losing or 5-game winning streak going into that game. Then they lose to the 49ers. They lose to the Chargers. They lose to the Bills. They lose to the Packers, and they lose to the Patriots before finally beating the Jets week 18 to eke their way in to the postseason at 9-8. You know, when this losing streak started, they were 8-3. 8-3. Then they lose 5 straight. They're 8-8 going into that final game, and thanks to like tiebreakers and some nonsense, they were finally able to get a win. And because they won, they kept the Steelers out, and were able to make it into the playoffs. But they're going up against a team. Granted, they've had 2 really tight games with the Bills. They won the first matchup early in the season, and it was 32-29 that they lost a few weeks ago in Buffalo. But you know, I just where Buffalo is and where Miami's at right now is like I don't really require much talking here. You know, Buffalo's got a chip on its shoulder because they probably feel like they should be the number one seed in the AFC, but fate got in the way and kind of erased that possibility. If they make it to an AFC championship game and have to play the Chiefs or the Bengals, they won't even be able to play at home in their home stadium and everything. They're going to have to, I think the latest rumor says they're going to Atlanta to play the AFC championship game, which to me is weird. They're going to play the AFC championship game in an NFC stadium, and I think that's odd, but whatever. But, you know, like I said, the Dolphins have been a team of streaks. You know, they started out 3-0, then they lost 3 in a row. They won 5 in a row, then they lost 5 in a row. And here they've won one, and come Sunday afternoon, they're going to lose one. It's going to close out their season. I just think that Buffalo is easily the better team. And I think they're going to take out their frustrations towards the NFL on the Dolphins and prepare for the divisional round. So don't think there's much need to go any further into that one. This one likely to be the better game, or if not, if like I said, it'll be Jacksonville and the Chargers or this one here with the Giants and the Vikings. For the best game of the weekend. They played a few weeks ago in Minnesota and won on a 61-yard field goal to close out the ball game. And you know, the Vikings have been riding high all year and not getting a lot of respect in the process. You know, they've when they've lost ugly. You know, they lost 24-7 week 2 against the Eagles. Then they won, 7-8 games straight. Then they lose 40-3 to the Cowboys. Fast forward a couple weeks later, they're on the road. They lose 34-23 to the Lions. And then a couple weeks later at Lambeau for the rematch, 41-17, they lose to the Packers. So it's like but all of their wins, I mean, week 1 over the Packers, 23-17, probably the easiest win they had all year. But then week 3 against the Lions, 28-14. Saints, week 4, 28-25. The Bears, week 5, 7 points, 29-22. Dolphins, 24-16. Cardinals, 34-26. These are all one-score games, 20-17 over the Commanders. 33-30, that crazy game in Buffalo against the Bills. 33-26 over the Patriots. 27-22 over the Jets. 39-36 over the Colts in that bananas game. And then 27-24 over the Giants before they, beat up on us as a depleted Bears team as I've ever seen in my life on Sunday. So they bookend with 16-point victories, 23-7 over the Packers, 29-13 over the Bears, but literally every game in between where they lost, they were blown to pieces. And when they won, it seemed like they barely got by. But the fact of the matter is, in 17 games, they've got 13 victories. And are, I think they are the, yeah, they're the three seed because of some tiebreaker with the 49ers. But, you know, they get it done, you know, regardless of if, you know, how you like the way that they've been doing it. They have been getting it done. They won 13 games. They had a seven-game win streak in there, you know, right in the middle of the season. And, you know, they've been winning. They've won their games, 13-4 this year. Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, the late addition of – or the midseason addition of T.J. Hockenson, you know, and the defense has been playing just well enough to get them out of there with the wins. The Giants, on the other hand – I think we all know what a journey that's been. You know, they beat the Bears earlier in the season, week number four. That made them 3-1 on the season. They ended up being 6-1 before losing to the Seahawks, and that loss put them on a trajectory where they went 1-4-1 over the next six games, because they lost to the Seahawks. They beat the Texans the week after. They lose back-to-back games to the Cowboys and Lions before tying the Commanders. And then they lost to the Eagles before they finally beat the Commanders in a rematch on Sunday Night Football. They lose to the Vikings in that nail-biter. They beat the Colts 38-10 2 weeks ago. And lost to the Eagles on Sunday. And essentially what was a meaningless game, because I think that win over the Colts put them in the playoffs. But they finished the year 9-7-1. This is a team at one point that was 7-2. So they went 2-5-1 down the stretch after that loss to the Lions. And, you know, this is a team, I think, aside from like maybe the Buccaneers, that kind of backed their way in to the playoffs. But at the same time, that means they're a team that's got nothing to lose, because nobody thinks they're going to go into Minnesota and win the rematch. Nobody does. Even though, you know, depending on who you talk to, they have just as good a chance of winning that game against the Vikings, because the Vikings have been the one score wonder as far as their margin of victory this season. So they could easily go in there and beat the Vikings and move on to the next round. Looking at the way this team has played the last 8-9 weeks of the season, that's not what I'm seeing. You know, I see the Vikings finding a way to win, being the cardiac kids, being that resilient team that is in it at the end, and when the clock strikes zero, they're the one standing on top. And I think that for at least one more week, that will be the Vikings this Sunday against the Giants. I just hope it's a fun game, because you know, I want to see fireworks similar to what we saw a few weeks ago with the 61-yard field goal to win it and all that kind of stuff. The main event on Sunday Night Football, the Baltimore Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a back-to-back rematch type thing. The Bengals stomping the Ravens last weekend to clinch. I think they already had the division clinched, but to basically win home field advantage for this rematch against the Ravens. You know, they've been on an emotional roller coaster these last few weeks. You know, probably being as confident as a team could be going into that Buffalo game, and we got what, 5 minutes into the game before the tragedy with DeMar Hamlin, and that ended up, you know, postponing the game and then later on canceling it. So Cincinnati was a 12-4 finisher this year. They didn't get to play a 17th game, or at least they didn't get to finish one. The Ravens have been struggling, especially on the offensive side with Lamar Jackson. He's been out like the last 5-6 weeks with the knee injury that he suffered against the Broncos. And, you know, the offense is really having a hard time getting along. Well, offense is not a problem for the Cincinnati Bengals. So if they can pick up where they left off, against the Ravens on Sunday. This is a team that is actually going into this postseason having lost one out of its last 11. They're 10-1 in their last 11 games. That doesn't include the cancellation with the Bills. Their one loss was at the Browns. Was it like week 7, week 8? And they haven't lost a game since. Beating up on the Panthers, the Steelers, the Titans, that big matchup with the Chiefs, you know, where they beat up on the Chiefs in Cincinnati, the rematch with the Browns, they beat they embarrassed the Buccaneers. I mean, the final score was 34-23, but that game was not that close. And then they beat the Patriots and come on with the win against the Ravens. So this is a team that's as hot as any other. It's like they're the AFC version of the 49ers going into this thing. They've won 10 out of their last 11, and honestly probably think they could have had a piece of the number one seed if they, you know, had the chance, or at least at the very least they could be the 2 seed instead of the 3 hanging in behind the Bills. So you know, I unless Lamar Jackson comes from out of nowhere to play in this game, and God only knows how effective he'll be, because he won't be 100%, but maybe just the emotional boost would help out. But anything short of that, and I think the Bengals run the Ravens off the field early and often in this one. I just think that, like the Bills, the Bengals have a little something to prove here, and they're ready to defend their AFC crown. I mean, these are last year's AFC champs. They want to go back to the Super Bowl and right the wrong. So, and I like their chances to get one step closer to that with a win over the Ravens on Sunday night. And then finally, closing out Super Wild Card weekend with a Monday night playoff game. The Dallas Cowboys will go to Tampa Bay and take on the Buccaneers, who were they 8-9? Yep, 8-9. What a joke the NFC South was this year. I mean, it's a joke to me that a team that was 5-9 at one point was in the playoff discussion. And I know that they like to do that in the hunt graphic, where a team that's 3 games, 4 games below 500 is, you know, got some kind of possibility of making the postseason kind of thing there, because they haven't been mathematically eliminated, even though everybody knows they don't have a snowball's chance in hell of making it. But if not for the, Panthers choking a couple of weeks ago against the Buccaneers, the Panthers could have won the division and they'd be the team hosting the Cowboys right now. And truth be told, I'd like their chances better against the Cowboys than I like Brady and the Buccaneers at this moment. And granted, this is a rematch of week one Sunday Night Football game to kick off the season. We're looking at two very different teams right now, and I know that the history has not been kind to the Cowboys in the opening round of the playoffs, whichever round that happens to be. But, you know, the Buccaneers are as big a mess going into this postseason as any division champ, quote unquote, that I've seen in quite some time. And, you know, I need the Cowboys to come in and stomp out the Brady flame, because I'm annoyed that it's still burning this season. He hasn't been bad, but his whole team has been horrendous, just horrendous. And this is a team that doesn't deserve to be in the playoffs right now. They just don't deserve to be there. No one in the South really does, but the Buccaneers don't deserve to be there. They just happen to be the team by default that makes it. And I need the Cowboys to go in to Tampa on Monday and act accordingly. Just go in there and stomp a mud hole in Tampa Bay's ass, and we'll all forget they even made the playoffs when we move on to the divisional round. So I need the Cowboys to go ahead and win that one, and I like their chances to do so, because based on how the Buccaneers have struggled on offense this year, if the Cowboys can score 17 in the first half, they're home free. So let's see if we can do that. You know, score some friggin' points and play some stinking defense, man. Can't be giving up 40 points to the Jaguars and things like that. But I'm taking the Cowboys in this one, and I'll be very happy if and when they come through and send Brady home. So anyway, there you got it, guys. It's good to be back. I'm thrilled to be doing this, to be podcasting, to be home from the hospital, getting back to regular life. And regular life during football season means that I do this. So thanks for sticking with me. Thanks for letting me know I wasn't alone out there. And come on back on Tuesday when we'll review these six matchups and see how it all went down. So until then, my name is Larry D, and this has been Bears Talk Underground.